Shane Bacon, golf coverage for Fox Sports, PGA Tour Live, Top Golf, host of the Clubhouse Pod, joins us here on Sportsnet today. Hey, Shane, how are you?
I'm doing well, except I just heard you say you had the over, and I may be on the other side of that. So we have issues.
Well, it is 67 points. I think we're both, it's going to be a nail biter at the end. And is that sad for both of us, Shane, if we're both watching the Pro Bowl late in the fourth quarter, hoping for our total to go over or under? Is that just a reflection of what type of people we are?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It just shows we're horrible people, but you know, that's true. Just how it goes.
Please kick that meaningless field goal to hit 70 points. Shane, having your eyes on Tiger Woods, obviously the biggest sports story in North America this weekend, makes his return to the Farmers Insurance Open down at Torrey Pines. How's he look to you?
I mean, you know, as I said, I thought if he finished and wasn't wincing, grabbing his back, anything like that, it was a win. I mean, I think it was an A-plus week. I mean, he's in the top 30 right now. He hadn't hit his driver great, but he's been able to scramble. He's been able to get the ball in the hole. He's been putting as solid as I've seen him putt probably in the last six, seven, 8 years over the course of four rounds. So I think it's been a big win for him. I mean, I think he's got to come away from this week, you know, thinking not only can I compete this year, but I can win. And that's something I didn't think was really ever going to happen again for Tiger.
We were all afraid, I think, after he had, you know, his back fused together, which I'm sure is a pretty serious surgery. We were worried about the length off the tee. That's not an issue with his TaylorMade's, is it?
Oh, he hit one 358 today. I mean, there's no problem. I mean, that was something, again, I mean, I think with all these surgeries and with the way he'd swung in the past, coming back, it looked like a guy that wasn't ever going to be able to really get it out there again. Now he's just got to work on finding fairways. I mean, the one issue, if you're looking at Tiger's week, is the fact that he's still missing the driver both ways. I'd love to see him, you know, really stick to try to hit that cut. And if he misses it right, he misses it right. But the distance is not a problem at all. He's hitting it just as far. He hit it 50 yards past Hideki Matsuyama today. I mean, 50 yards past, you know, number five player in the world is darn impressive.
What is more important for Tiger this year? Because we've had a few golf guests on, and it just interests me. What's more important, him winning and then potentially missing some time with an injury, or him not winning but playing an injury-free 2018?
I would probably go with the second there. I'd probably say not winning but being healthy, getting in contention, showing himself that he can do it again. I mean, I think that's really important. You know, confidence goes quickly, even for the best player in the world and the most dominant golfer we've ever seen. I mean, it's been a long, long time since he had those moments on a Sunday where he could potentially win. So, you know, maybe the first time he's back there, it's not going to happen. But if he can get through the year healthy, you know, a few top 10s, maybe a top five, maybe get in a final group over the weekend, even if he doesn't win, I think it'd be huge for the years to come. Because, you know, if he's healthy, and we mentioned the distance, he'll be able to compete the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years if the back stays put.
Golf coverage for Fox Sports, PGA Tour Live, Top Golf, host of the Clubhouse Pod, Shane Bacon, joining us here on Sportsnet today. I'm George on the Sportsnet radio network. Shane, when I look at Tiger Woods and I see Phil Mickelson as well, and I see how the great battles those guys had in the past and how they pretty much dominated golf for the last 20 plus years, obviously more Tiger than Phil. Who's more likely to win a major if one of them can win a major? Is it Phil or Tiger at this point?
I would say it's Phil still, but, you know, the thing we saw it this week, I mean, Phil was 7 under par at one point, which would have been very much in the conversation here. And then he's had these really weakened lags on the second nines of rounds. He did that a lot last year. You know, one thing would go wrong, and he's had a really hard time recovering. That's something that we didn't used to see with Phil. He was able to, you know, get it back on track if he made a bogey here or there. And it just seems like now the first bogey or first bad swing he makes, especially over the weekend, his scorecard just really, really goes south. So I would still say it's Phil, but, you know, if Tiger plays like this for the next 3 or 4 events headed into the Masters, you'd at least, you know, the gap would at least get a little bit closer, in my opinion.
Do you think Tiger, if he plays this year injury-free but isn't really in contention and has a hard time making cuts, do you think Tiger Woods is proud enough to say, you know what, my body's let me down, I can't compete at this level anymore, I'm going to shut it down? Or because he's Tiger Woods, he thinks eventually my game will click back and I'll be able to beat these guys? Do you think his ego will get in the way of him being realistic down the road if, in fact, he can't compete?
I think there's no way he would give up the game, since, you know, basically he probably should have 3, 4, 5 years ago with the way he was playing and with how unhealthy he was. I mean, now the fact that he's able to go out there and swing. I think that, you know, you'll have to, you know, almost get the guy for Happy Gilmore to come out there with a VW Bug to get him off of a golf course. I mean, that's what you're seeing with him. He's so competitive. And, you know, he just doesn't really know anything else. That's what I've noticed with the guy is, you know, this is all he's ever known is go out there, play golf, compete, try to make putts, grind your way through a bad round or, you know, really kind of ride the momentum wave. Things are going well. You know, I just don't see him giving this up and going in a booth to broadcast or coaching, something like that. I just feel like he'll be out there until he can't do it anymore, if that's health-wise or just age. So I would expect to see him play golf as long as he can, as long as his body can hold up.
Today we see Jason Day and Rory McIlroy on near the top of the leaderboards. Jason Day here at the Farmers Insurance Open, and then Rory McIlroy out on the European Tour. Which one of those golfers needs to have a bounce-back year more?
I think Rory needs the bounce-back year more just because I think he's expecting the bounce-back year, especially with the way he's played top threes in his first two events this year on the European Tour. You know, Jason Day is really Tiger Light to me. I mean, this is the guy that's just continuously struggling with injuries. We saw him pull out of the Pro-Am this week because of a bad back, and this is his first event of the year. I tell you, I was not expecting to see him near the top of this leaderboard. But I think for golf, it's Rory, and I think probably personally it's Jason Day just because you know, Day gets down on himself. That's something that you don't really see with a lot of these great, great players. Right. Is it seemed like he kind of gets down on himself when things aren't going well. And I'd like to just see him play somewhat healthy golf and at least get himself in the conversation like he's doing this week. I'll tell you, it'd be a real surprise to the golf community if Jason Day won.
How serious is that heart issue Rory McIlroy's dealing with?
He said it's not an issue. He said it's just something he's got to kind of keep his eye on, but I don't think it's much of an issue. I mean, Rory's one of the rare superstar athletes that almost overshares. You know, he's not scared to tell the media what's going on and be honest with people. And this was one of those moments. He had no reason to say this to anybody, and he just did it because that's kind of the guy he is. And so, obviously, I think if it was real serious, I'm not sure he would have released all that information out there to the public just yet until he, you know, kind of got it locked in. So I'm not worried about him at all. I think he's going to be completely fine.
Golf coverage for Fox Sports, PGA Tour Live, Topgolf, and host of the Clubhouse Pod, Shane Bacon, joining us here on Sportsnet today. I'm George along the Sportsnet Radio Network. Obviously, we always talk about, we saw it in tennis on the weekend, Shane, that Caroline Wozniacki won the Australian Open for the ladies' side. Now she took away that moniker of being the best player without a major. Who is the best player on tour right now without a major? Is it Ricky Fowler?
It's a battle between Ricky and Hideki Matsuyama to me. And, I mean, John Rahm's coming on quick. I mean, he's already number two in the world, which is just unbelievable to think, especially when you kind of look at his start to his career compared to what Tiger did when he came out. They're very similar. I mean, that's how dominant John Rahm has been in just about a year and a half time. But I think right now it's Ricky's 1A and Hideki's 1B. And, I mean, Hideki's there because not only he's been able to win a lot professionally, but he's played really well in the majors the last couple of years. I think he'll be in contention at the Masters again. And I think this will be the year. I think this will be the year you see both those guys win one, because I just think the U.S. Open sets up perfectly for Ricky Fowler at Shinnecock. I mean, he drives the ball so well. You know, they brought those fairways in after Cord Crenshaw went in there and actually expanded the fairways a little bit at Shinnecock. And I think it's going to be a place where you've really got to drive the ball well. And that really, really plays into Ricky's hand.
Shane, for those listeners who don't realize the amount of pressure that's on Hideki Matsuyama, not only he's trying to break through in his first major, as you just said, but he's got the entire country of Japan that he's playing for, trying to win a major for that country for the first time. Just talk about the amount of media attention that guy gets and the amount of pressure he gets from back home.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and you make a great point. I mean, it's hard for anybody here to understand it. It doesn't happen to Rory. It doesn't happen to Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas. What Hideki goes through, I mean, you know, there's 20, 25, you know, Japanese reporters every week following just him. You know, they don't care about anybody else in the field. They are focused just on this 25-year-old. And it's been impressive the way he's been able to handle it. I mean, he's a very mature guy. You know, he might one-hand release an iron shot when he hits it 20 feet. That's a little bit funny at this point to watch, but I'd say he handles it unbelievably well. And you know, this is a guy that's one of the best players in the world, and I think this is a guy that is poised to really, you know, move into that category with the Spieths, Thomases, Dustin Johnsons, that type. That's how good he is. I mean, we saw him in a run late last year and early into 2017 that he was basically unbeatable, and that's really hard to do in the current landscape on the PGA Tour.
Is he the best iron player on tour?
He might. He just about is. I mean, it's you know, it's him or Dustin, really. I mean, he hits his iron so straight. It's unbelievable. I mean, that's what's funny when you watch him. He gets disgusted at an 8-iron that he hits 15 feet. You know, he's expecting to throw darts in there inside of 10 feet with just about every club in his bag.
Is Dustin Johnson kind of the guy we forget about? Obviously, we saw that ridiculous shot he hit on the par four where he almost aced it in Brandel Chamblee earlier this season, calling it the greatest golf shot in the history of golf shots, which was kind of insane, but I wish I could just hit the ball for one day as far as DJ. Is he kind of flying under the radar because he's a quiet guy, but he has such a monster game? Do we really need to be paying more attention to DJ?
I do. I think so. I think he absolutely flies under the radar. I mean, I think he is as good as anybody out there. I think his best is better than anybody's best out there. And it's funny, you know, what we've been talking for, you know, 10 minutes, and this is the first time we're really talking about the number one player in the world. I mean, he is, I think Dustin's got, you know, I mean, you talk about the sky's the limit. I think this is the type of player that could win on any golf course. We've seen him basically win on any golf course. And now that he's kind of learned how to control those late, you know, Sunday round situations, I mean, as long as it doesn't fall down in a rental house this year, I mean, he's going to be in contention at all four majors, I think. I just think that his demeanor on the golf course is something that really is also underrated. I mean, people just – they look at him like he's out there and he doesn't care. And really, he's just a guy that's able to control his emotions in every round and every situation. And it's really impressive to kind of watch, you know, how Dustin's grown the last 6, 7, 8 years.
Which major sets up best for him this year?
I mean, you know, you hit it long and you can turn the ball over right to left and you're going to have a chance at Augusta National every single year. Like I said, you know, it was really disappointing. I thought he was going to win it last year. And of course, he had to pull out because he fell down, you know, in that rental house situation. I just would be surprised if, you know, we get to 2021, 2022 and Dustin Johnson doesn't have a green jacket. That place is made for him. You know, if you can bomb the golf ball, look, we saw it with Phil. You know, he had a lot of success at Augusta National. He could move the ball right to left. We obviously saw it with Bubba Watson. You know, he can hit it forever, and he hits it right to left. And I think that's exactly what Dustin really likes to do right now. And if he can turn that driver over, I mean, he turns every par five into a par four. And, you know, his short game's gotten really, really sharp.
Do you think there's a chance our Canadian Adam Hadwin can win on tour this year?
For sure, absolutely. I think Adam Hadwin has a ton of talent. I mean, we watched him really closely at that President's Cup, and you know, he was one of the more impressive guys on that team, to be fair. I mean, the Internationals really struggled. But, you know, we saw it early in the season last year. Hadwin can go really low. And I mean, he, you know, you look at like a Harbor Town. I mean, how does he not contend there? That looks like a place that he could win at. You know, you look at the Greenbrier. These are the types of events that I look at him and expect to see him in the top five, top ten.
Shane, before I let you go, I keep mentioning Topgolf. That's like you go there, you hit the ball. Is that the you go there, you hit the golf balls, you have a couple of drinks, you have targets. Is that what Topgolf we're talking about here that you're involved in?
Yeah. That's the place you go and you can compete against all your buddies. You can throw a couple of loonies around at it. It's a pretty good time. And the nice thing is here in Arizona, they have the misters, you know, to cool you off. But in the cold areas, they got the heaters. You can play all year round. It's pretty fun.
All right. It's coming to the GTA. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Shane Bacon, golf coverage for Fox Sports, PGA Tour Live, and host of the Clubhouse Pod. Shane, thanks for doing this. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Anytime.